So my name is Holly Cooper. I am with the UC Davis Immigration Law Clinic together. And I'll be really, because my student can sort of highlight a lot of her experiences that she's learned in her visits to the detention facilities where children are held. So on the heels of this, in 1985, there was a little girl whose name was Ginny Lisette Flores. And she was held in a facility in downtown Los Angeles, a facility that was surrounded by concertina wire, where her mother was not allowed to come receive her or get her release because her mother was undocumented. She was told if she presented herself, she would be detained along with her daughter. She was also strip searched. She was held with adult men, adult women, and separated from her siblings. So this child decided to do what? Sue the United States government. She was a 14-year-old girl. Which I find to be incredibly powerful, and every time we go into a detention facility, we tell the children the story of Ginny Lisette Flores. But Ginny Lisette Flores ended up forming a contract with the federal government, and today it's called the Flores Settlement Agreement. And what the Flores Settlement Agreement is, she sat down, essentially at a table with her lawyers and the federal government and made some basic demands. The government treat her with dignity while she was detained. That the government held her in the least restrictive environment so we wouldn't see the repetition of history that unfortunately your family endured. Also that there would be expeditious release, that she'd be released to her mother. So she made some really basic demands, and one of them was to be treated with dignity, like humanely, to have privacy, and to be held in the facilities where there was education, there was licensing standards. So she made this contract eventually in 1997. And today, our clinic has the honor and the privilege of seeking to enforce that settlement agreement. As a part of that settlement agreement, we're allowed to go into any detention facility that holds children, any federal immigration detention facility that holds children, and inspect it and make sure that the government is complying with the demands as Ginny Lisette had wanted them to be. She didn't get everything she wanted, right? It was a settlement. But part of the reason I got involved, hopefully you think that, wow, 1985? Holly was really, really older. I was still in junior high. But I got involved because I was meeting with children in the Yolo County Juvenile Detention Facility, not far from where many of the Japanese were transitioned at the Yolo County Fairground. About maybe a mile from there is the Yolo County Juvenile Detention Facility. And I met with the children there, and they were telling me that they were being detained for 2-3 years. And I thought, what is going on here? And I thought, well, this was before I was involved with the settlement. And I thought, well, one of the basic provisions of the settlement is the children be given the right to a bond hearing and be held for the least amount of time possible in the least restrictive environment. Qualitatively, inside of this detention facility looks just like a prison. There's bars on the door. The children get 1 hour of outdoor time a day. The children get like maybe 20 minutes a day to talk to their parents. So I ended up calling the lead lawyer in the Flores Settlement Agreement and said, do you need help with this? Because I want to help you bring an enforcement action. And he said, sure, give me the declarations from the children and we'll bring you on board. And so that's when the students and I at the time, about 4 years ago, made the decision to become lawyers in the settlement agreement, because what we were seeing, especially in our backyard, it made it very, very personal that less than 15 miles away from where we had our law clinic, the children were being held basically with no rights, with no end in sight. And the federal government at the time was telling us, we're gonna hold them until they're 18. We're like, wait a minute, no, you're not on my watch. So the students went in and we won that. We took the case went all the way up to the Circuit Court of Appeals, and the students won a published decision in the Circuit Court of Appeals saying that the children have a liberty interest and a right to a bond hearing. This Flores Settlement Agreement still is alive. And that was a huge decision for us. We got the order on July 5th, but the day before, on July 4th, the judge made it sort of be known that he was issuing his decision. And I always feel like maybe he was trying to do something symbolic with the date of the publication of that order. May he rest in peace, Judge Reinhardt. he's no longer with us, but he was the author of that decision. But with that, we ended up, with the declarations, we were getting disturbing accounts from the children about a facility in Texas called the Shiloh Residential Treatment Facility. And the children were telling us that, you know, they were being forcibly medicated, that their parents were not providing consent to that medication, that there was extraordinary weight gain going on, and that, you know, essentially this kid was like, you know, we were told we couldn't get out unless we complied with their psychiatric treatment program. So we went in and we investigated the facility with another group of students. We got declarations from the children there. One of the things we saw inside of the residential treatment facility, I think, were so harrowing that, some of the students and I had to sort of debrief because of the trauma that we witnessed. But we ended up bringing another motion to enforce. I think it's really important also to mention to this group in particular that the judge who oversees the enforcement of the settlement agreement is Judge Dolly G, who's the first Chinese American judge appointed to the federal district court. And so she takes this very, very seriously. She's a wonderful judge. So we brought this second motion to enforce about the administration of psychotropic medication on children without parental consent, as well as other, you know, sort of due process issues that we saw. And we won again. So that was very, very nice. We're still in settlement discussions with the government about the implementation of Judge G's order. But that was a major coup for us. What also happened when the Trump administration took office was that Trump made it one of his primary objectives to obliterate the Flores settlement agreement. And there we kind of see this really targeted directive or policy directive on behalf of this administration to target children. And to, and I don't know if you saw the leaks 2 weeks ago, but there's leaks saying that this targeted directive of detaining children, giving them less rights, is to create a deterrent of migration. And also to separate children from their families was to sort of create this sort of psychiatric, you know, or psychological harm to the children that would be so dramatic that it would also deter migration. So you're seeing this really punitive intent on behalf of our president and our government to not only detain children, but to do it in a way that will stymie migration. And these are legitimate migration flows for people that are very, very, as like Professor Nordahl mentioned, people are fleeing for their lives, and especially the children. So that's kind of the backdrop of the Flores. Some of the principles of the Flores settlement agreement, one that Judge G seized on, again, embedded in some of the children's declaration, was the fact that they were using limiting children's access to water as a disciplinary or behavioral tool. And Judge G, we didn't even like, you know, there were so many horrors that we didn't even sort of raise this. And Judge G seized on that. And in her order, she actually says that the federal government shall provide the children water. And that's sort of like how basic that she saw these violations. And I think that Judge G, because we kept seeing so many violations, eventually about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, decided to actually appoint a special monitor over it. Because right now we have 14,000 children detained. And maybe have gone down a little bit since last month. But part of the problem is there's, you know, Karen, myself, and, you know, 8 other lawyers, we can't possibly talk to 14,000 children. So she's actually got a special court investigator that's also looking into this because the complaints were so many, so frequent, and so severe that she actually put an extra arm in the court to help do this investigation and to see that what Jenny Lissette bargained for in 1997 is still being complied with. And so I want to turn it over to Karen because she's got some really interesting stuff to tell you about our investigation as Flores Council. But one of the things I always ask children when I go publicly speak is I say, what, I'm going to go speak. I know you can't be there, but what do you want us to say? And, if I'm going to speak to an audience, and this child who I'll call Luis said, tell them that we want freedom. So I'm here to tell you that. Children, because I think, what you were saying is so important that they're be rendered invisible. And that we're here today to give transparency and visibility to those voices, because I thought it was really powerful when you said that nobody marched for us. That really struck me. And I think the children have always told me, we want, it's really interesting, your protest and your resistance is so interesting, because the children said, if the protesters come, tell them to play music, tell them to be loud so that we can hear them. So really, thank you for what you're doing, because if you ask me what you can do, it's exactly just that.